This evening I would draw your attention to a single verse from the Bible. It's found in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Just two chapters after the shortest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 117. But here in Psalm 119 and verse 18, we read together. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. And of course, this entire psalm concerns the glories and the splendor of the law of the Lord, which we know now in a more modern sense concerns and contains all the Bible from first to last. Which the psalmist will say in verse 160 is true from the beginning, from first to last. But it's the first part of this verse I'd like to spend just a few moments with you considering this evening. Open my eyes. The Bible has a great deal to say, especially in the New Testament, about the need to see what is there and not miss it. You might recall Jesus' wonderful parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. And after he tells the parable, and before he gives the interpretation of the parable, he spends just a moment discussing with his apostles why he speaks to them in parables by way of answer to their question concerning the same. And in discussing that, he references what Isaiah had said hundreds of years before, that those of his day, having eyes they saw not, having ears they heard not, and neither they understood with their minds. And Jesus was saying that same thing is true today. And then he referenced his apostles by saying, blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. It's possible, Jesus said, it's possible, Isaiah said earlier, to have eyes and yet miss what is right there in front of you. Jesus would also say in Matthew chapter 6, just before his treatment of worry and anxiety and the need for us to dismiss all of that as a matter of faithlessness, he said that the light of the body is the eye. And if the eye is healthy or single or focused, the whole body is full of light. But if the eye is diseased or unhealthy or unfocused, the whole body is full of darkness. And if that light which is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? And of course, his point there is concerning our seeing with a single vision what is most important. He'll say in the latter part of that chapter, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's a singleness of vision. But Christ references the matter of seeing what's right before us. Well, I thought we'd spend just a few moments this evening talking about some things that it'd be nice if we could open our eyes to see. I don't know about you, but every once in a while I'll spend a little time. And by that I mean very often I spend way too much time. And looking at little video clips of stuff. Sometimes it's funny stuff. Sometimes it's cat or dog stuff. But sometimes it's especially inspirational material. Things that just, after you watch them, you say, I'm glad I saw that. Makes me feel like I'm a better person for having seen it. There's a category of those little videos where it just almost breaks my heart every time when one of the veterans comes back and surprises their loved one, often one of their children, at the least expected moment. And here they turn around and they see their father or mother who's been gone for so long, and such joy. You can't have a heart not warm by seeing something like that. But there's a second category that I have been looking for, and they're all over the place on YouTube and other places. They're the videos of children who have a seeing problem, who can't navigate the world, and for the first time they have glasses put on their face. And sometimes the videos show the children so young, like a year and a half, 2 years old, they fight and they cry and they don't want these glasses put on their face. And the moment that they're there and they open their eyes, well, your heart just melts because they finally see the world as it is. Well, I wonder what our lives would be like if the Lord could put some glasses on us like that. If we could, for just a moment, put on heavenly spectacles and see what the Lord would have us to see. If we could just open our eyes and see the spiritual, not just the physical. We see enough of that. But the spiritual. The spiritual aspect of this universe and all of things living and non-living, you and me, everything around us, coming from not just accident, but from the God who loved us and the God who made us and the God who will one day judge us. We live in a spiritual world. To open our eyes and be able to realize we are not just flesh and blood and bones and body, but we are walking, talking, living souls. We are spirits housed for a time within the body. And as the song says, the soul never dies. Well, we sing it. Do we see the world that way? The fact is, we're going to be gone from this world a lot longer than we're here. The days of our years are 70 and by reason of strength, 80, 70 or 80 from Psalm 90. In that same psalm, it begins talking about God being everlasting to everlasting. We're not, in terms of this flesh. What you see, it's soon to be gone. What you can't see, that's what matters. And that's exactly what Paul says in the last of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. They're material. Things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, if we could just see the spiritual realm of life, not someday off at some time, past now and beyond here, when we leave this life for the next one, but if we could just see the spiritual right here where we are at present. As Paul told the Athenians in Acts 17, speaking of God, he's not far from any one of us. Well, he's not. He's not off there somewhere. He is right here with us. He is right here within us. And the kingdom, the church, is not some building constructed somewhere. Jesus said the kingdom is within you. What does he mean by that? The spiritual realm is right here with us. And though I can't describe it, much less to fully contemplate the depths of it, I believe with all of my heart that we have right near all of us. The angels and the archangels and the demons and the underbelly of demonic worlds all close at hand and influencing things every day in our lives. We still have choice, absolutely. We make our own way by decisions that we choose to make. But God alters the course of history and charts the course of time through providential means by using these spiritual forces in heavenly ways, in the heavenly places, which are not far removed from us, but a lot closer than you might think. If we could just put on some heavenly spectacles and see that, see those things which are not seen, I promise you would all begin living different lives. Things that matter so much wouldn't matter at all. And things that don't concern us much would concern us altogether, because we'd finally realize what most matters are not things of this life, things of this flesh, things of today. They are things of the Spirit. Our spiritual blessings are in Christ. which makes me wonder then, perhaps we could, with those spiritual heavenly spectacles, we could see the many blessings God has blessed us with. Open my eyes to see the wonderful blessings. The psalmist will say in Psalm 103 and verse 2, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Well, the trouble is, we do tend to forget all his benefits. We see what is obvious, the muck and the mire and the mess of life. We see what's easiest to see, the problems and the despair and the discouragements. But it takes effort to open our eyes and see all the wonderful things God provides for us on a daily basis. The wonderful blessings he supplied both in the world and in Christ for us as his people throughout the years up to this present moment. How good the Lord has been to us. You remember the last time you were in Psalm 115, that wonderful psalm where the psalmist talks about the fallacy of falling down and worshiping these graven images. And how these images, they've got ears they can't hear, they've got eyes they can't see, with their graven throats they can't even mutter through their throats. They that make them, he says, are like them. Our God's not like that. He starts a chapter by saying, Psalm 115, that God, not like that. He's done whatever he's pleased. And what is he pleased to do? Same chapter. The Lord has been mindful of us. Brother Sanderson's song we sometimes sing, "The Lord has been mindful of me. He blesses and blesses again." Well, that's the kind of God we serve. Not a vengeful tyrant doing his best to ruin us. That's the devil. But a wonderful, sovereign God who longs to bless us. And he has. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. So ends the Psalm 100. And we could spend much more time than we have this evening recounting all the wonderful passage in both Testaments, reminding us of everything God has done for us and how we must never, ever forget it. And so the next time you just look down and see the mess, put on those heavenly spectacles and think about all those things you should be thankful for. Those blessings he's given to you. And live up to another song we sing. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And if you get going, they're not one by one, they're dozen by dozen. And score by score, there are so many of them. But then one more idea here of things we can open our eyes and see. Open my eyes to see the opportunities before me every single day. Paul says much the same thing in Ephesians chapter 5 and also Colossians chapter 2, uses the same phrase. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Slightly different context. He says that for slightly different reasons, but the idea is exactly the same in both places. Walk circumspectly. Walk carefully, Paul will say in Ephesians 5. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You walk carefully, you walk circumspectly, you walk that way by keeping your eyes open where you're going. And if there's a crack in the sidewalk that's not the same level as where you're walking and you see it, you might actually step over it. If you don't notice it, you might trip into it and fall face first, hopefully on the grass and not on the concrete. When you walk carefully, you walk seeing where you're going. And so walk carefully, walk circumspectly, Paul says, redeeming the time, knowing the days are evil. And that phrase, redeeming the time, simply means literally buying up the opportunities, making the best possible use of the time you have. We don't have all the time in the world in the flesh. The soul, we've just said, it never dies, but that's not true for your body or for mine. If you haven't noticed lately, we seem to be going in one direction physically, and we have a hard time going back against the grain. Ever try to wake up and be one day younger? Wouldn't that be something if you'd wake up and be one day younger? I have a birthday, and what do you know? I'm a year younger. This next Wednesday evening, after a Wednesday evening a class, we're going to have a celebration with cake and everything for those in the month of February who've celebrated the birthdays and Thanksgivings. And we just assume, because it's always the case, we're celebrating somebody and they're a year past where they were the year before. Nobody yet has said, I'm a year younger, celebrate me. We just go in one direction. That's it. That's something we all have in common, which means we've got a limited amount of time at our disposal to do whatever we need to be doing. It also means that during this time, we have opportunities that come to us only and not everybody. You know people I don't. You travel places that the rest of us don't. You have opportunities none of us will ever have, and all of us have our unique opportunities, which are ours and ours alone. What do we do with them? Well, what we usually do with them, sad to say, is we don't have our heavenly spectacles on. Instead, we just stumble through life as if this is all there was, and this day is all we'll ever have, and we just get through as best we can till it's bedtime again, missing every single opportunity that God has been doing his best to present to us and have us see and work with during that day. I wonder what it would look like if... Ever watch television at night? What it'd be like just before you turn off the set if there were about a 30-minute fast clip on the television of that day's missed opportunities. They just scroll by real quickly. Kind of like we had the sign-off years ago with the Star Spangled Banner. Here's a scrolling list of those missed opportunities of all of us individually for the day. And what I promise you would all be surprised about is it'd be a fast-moving scroll, and there'd be a lot of things there, and most of them we would say, I didn't even see that. Because we weren't looking for it. Because our eyes weren't open to see them. You tend to see what you're looking for. You tend to find what you're seeking, you're searching. Jesus talked in that language in Matthew chapter 7. Ask and seek and knock and you'll receive and you'll have answered. You see what you're looking for. And so we need to open our eyes and see the myriad, wonderful, sometimes almost mystical opportunities before us of God's providence that will work out best if we work along with them. Well, these are just ideas I had based upon this one verse. There's so many wonders in God's word and God's law, which would be a wonderful lesson for a different time. But with that beginning idea of opening our eyes, a lot of things would change if we could just see things as God sees them. And come to think of it, it brings us back here, doesn't it? You want to see things as God sees them? Spend more time here. Let this word sink deeply into your minds and hearts. Don't just read it. Don't just study it, but ponder it. Meditate upon it. Make it a part of how you think and who you are. And the more you do that, the more you'll be able to see as God sees. And then what a difference it makes in a life with those heavenly spectacles on, to see what we've been missing all this time. the world lives without glasses like that, but God's given us a means to see things the world simply cannot because they choose not to see. If you're here this evening and outside of Christ, understand by seeing what matters that you need to be right with God, either by becoming a Christian this evening or coming back to Him if you've left. For whatever reason, though, if you need to come this evening, please come now as together we stand and sing.